Well, before we go any further tonight, we need to remember that when you wake up tomorrow morning, it will be September 11th. And that marks 24 years when our nation was attacked. And we do need to remember that. I fear we have forgotten that. So for some of us, we remember vividly where we were at on that Tuesday morning. And America's under attack. I think America has been under attack ever since that day. I don't think it's ever backed off. I think it's just worked in the shadows. And so just remember tomorrow, great loss of life in our nation, and resulting also, of course, in a great loss of life in what, 14, 15 year of war that was executed or prosecuted in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's a day to mark some of the young people that are here with us tonight. I know that you weren't even born yet, but for some of us, we can close our eyes. And it's in Technicolor. And also, obviously, we've gathered together tonight to honor my friend and to talk about the dynamics and the questions. And I really covet your prayers tonight because I'm going to try to be in two places at the same time, if that's possible with technology. But tonight, I just covet your prayers because at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 10 o'clock tonight, I'll be joining the Fox News team in New York, and we're going to be discussing the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And so we need to ask questions, we need to answer questions. But one of the things that we want to look at times like this is, how does someone get to heaven? We would say in this context, by believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. Yes, amen. Repenting. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, the scripture says. Yes, that is the answer. But by what means do we get to inherit such a wonderful gift that has been given to us? Jesus purchased heaven for us. And so the question is, how do we get there? Someone a long time ago had a bumper sticker that said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And death is that door that you have to go through. There is no way to meet Jesus Christ without going through the door of death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. A lot of people misunderstand what David was saying. When we suffer in this world, folks, and we head toward death itself, that is the valley. There is no valley after death. There's only Jesus Christ and the glory of heaven after death. It's to know him and to be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord instantaneously. Stephen was being stoned to death there in Jerusalem. And before Stephen even died, the Lord gave him encouragement. And he saw Jesus stand up as he was seated at the right hand of God the Father. Stephen saw Jesus stand up. That's uncharacteristic. The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But then Stephen tells us that, no, Jesus is standing. I saw him stand. And so we thus conclude that whenever God's children are passing, they see Jesus standing to meet them, to say something like this, well done, Charlie. Well done, Charlie. the verse on the screen for tonight is, it's been my go-to today. As media has been calling, the news agencies have been calling, and word travels. And I was blessed by all the invitations and honored to speak about my friend and to say things that, yeah, we knew each other well. Yes, I talked to him just yesterday. And I had the incredible opportunity to have Charlie here so long ago, but we hit it off. You know when you meet somebody, you know that, you know, love at first sight? I'm not gay or anything, but I've had that with with a few men I have that with. It was love at first sight with Tony Perkins. It was love at first sight with Frank Turek. And it was love at first sight with Charlie. It's that koinonia, the bonding of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit within a brother that plugs you together, bonds you together. Nothing has to be said, by the way. I know women have a hard time with that. Us men, we just have to groan and grunt, and we communicate 1,000 words. And it's enough for us. And but you know those three men I just mentioned to you a moment ago, quite amazing to me, because in the last 24 hours, I've spoken with all three of them. I just didn't know that one of them would beat me to heaven. I planned on being there before him. But this is Charlie. Look at that hair. Look at that age. And you know, he was smart then, but he became wiser. That's in our podcast room, and he was doing his show here and brought his attack dog, which was always great. He always honored me. I wanted to believe that I'm too young to be his dad, but the reality is I'm way, way old enough to be his dad. But he would always be so kind to have me sit next to him or with him. Charlie, every day or every other day, Charlie would text me a Bible verse. And he was always faithful to call and say, listen, I'm about to talk on something. I'm about to go out and speak about this particular issue. Where are we on this? I love that. Where are we on this issue? Whatever it might be, Charlie, this is where we're at. Here's what the Bible verse is. This is where we're at. So I'm going to ask you guys to put the verse up on the, yeah, that's beautiful. But put the screen, the verse, I'm sorry. This is Charlie. Well done, Charlie, for I am ready. Already being poured out as a drink offering. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and the time of my departure is at hand. Notice that when the believer leaves, we leave from here to go somewhere else. You don't depart somewhere without having a destination to go to. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The words of the great apostle. And so today, at what looks like, in the worldly narrative, it looks like Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a professional killer, a very skilled marksman, knew exactly what he was doing, and it looks like a catastrophe. So CNN or Fox asked the question, if you believe in God, why does this stuff happen? Really? In one of the interviews today, I said, you're asking the wrong question. I said, we should ask the question and put it upon ourselves, why are we allowing this stuff to happen? As a culture, as a people, why? There is a danger, there is a poison in our culture that is godless and that has been trained up in our culture by the godless. And in the interview today with Fox News, the reporter asked me a question, and I said, I want to be a little bit sarcastic with you. When you talk about these kinds of things happening, why not? Why not stab a young woman who has fled from the Ukraine to come to the only hope in the world for safety and freedom and liberty, only to be stabbed 3 times in the neck and bleed to death while onlookers watched as a man who had been arrested 14 times was once again released from jail by a judge that was hired or made a judge as a DEI policy. That judge, in my opinion, that judge should be held for murder in the first degree. That's my opinion. I do know what Jesus will do. He's made it clear with such evil. But we need to be very careful that in all of these things, we keep our heart tender, and only do that if we keep our heart biblically focused. And so the question is, how could a God of love allow such a thing? Wait a minute. God's made it perfectly clear. And let's not get too blind by our emotions. Jesus said, Satan has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. Death, and anyone who practices death, is a disciple of Satan. And it's a doctrine of the devil. And it's of deceiving spirits. In America today has lost its way because we have forgotten God. And that is not my opinion. These are the fruits and manifestation of a godless age. And when I said to that reporter, allow me to answer you with some sarcasm. Why not? Why not put a knife in a woman's throat until she's dead? Why not? Why not pull the trigger and extinguish anyone's life? Oh, and yes, Nancy Pelosi, the gun was the problem. Not the heart, not the evil spirit within an individual. It's those doggone guns that just jump off the table and shoot people. When are we going to learn? If we're going to outlaw guns, then we need to outlaw knives. And if we outlaw knives, we need to outlaw rocks. And if we outlaw rocks, we got to outlaw hands that can be used to strangle somebody. It's not the gun, stupid. It's the heart. It's the heart. And until the heart is changed, there'll be no change in our culture until the heart is changed. But the political woke side of our nation, which is now obviously, in my opinion, either covertly or overtly have launched a civil war against this Constitution and this nation. It's okay if certain people die. They're the judge of that. They've taken the place of God. And so I said this, why not kill people? And how dare we say that it's wrong? What a hypocritical approach when we spend 13, 14, 15 years telling our kids in school and university, you're nothing more but an evolutionary byproduct. You're an animal. There is no God. You're at the top of the food chain. And so we have manipulated and poisoned our culture to the degree that people now can take life without the batting of an eye. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. We need to start asking the question. Why is this happening? Answer, we've taught our kids to be animals. Instead of them being taught that they're precious in the sight of God and all human life is precious in the sight of God, that we need to honor one another and love one another. But the Bible's very clear. God's word is very clear that we are to have the rule of law. And those who perpetrate evil are to suffer the consequences of their actions. And we've lost that. We have the evil protecting the murderer. And we have good people deciding to be silent. And we need to decide, if we're going to decide at all, what are we going to do? And here's what we say as believers. We pray. That's where we begin, because we start in prayer, we continue in prayer, and we end in prayer. Until Jesus comes, we will pray. And so that's a given. You never stop, you never give up, you keep that dialogue with God open. But today, a man was silenced, and everything about, Charlie, listen, I hope I remember to come back to where I'm interrupting myself on. I got to tell you something. Charlie might have been 31, almost 32. He might have been 31. But I watched him go from a teenage Christian. I don't mean teenage. I didn't know him as a teenager. He was a teenager in spirit. Very smart. Crazy smart. Like savant smart. And memory, I've never seen anything like it. But if you followed Charlie over the years, you watched and you listened to him mature more quickly. That today, Charlie's physical body ceased to exist today, ceased to function today. But Charlie went to the arms of Jesus today at about the ripe old age of about 90 years of spiritual age. And I'll prove it to you. I can prove it to you. In some case, you could say that Charlie outgrew his body. So God brought him home. Hey, listen, I've never seen anyone sit in a hostile setting on university campuses, more recently at Oxford University, and be attacked, cussed at, spit at, defamed, threatened, and he just sat there. Never once did he fire back, ever, ever. Charlie Kirk never said anything back to those assailants, like, why don't you drop dead, or you'll find out someday when you wake up in hell. He never said anything like I would say. He was a gentleman, he was winsome, and he stood in the lion's den and prevailed. Every single time he prevailed. Charlie loved the truth, and he knew the truth could not be killed. And tonight we have a lot of young people that are here tonight. Good, I'm glad you're here. You know what I think? I think the million plus Gen Z followers of Charlie Kirk or members of Turning Point USA, do you know what I think? Another knucklehead reporter asked me today, step into Charlie Kirk's shoes? I said, that's the wrong question again. You don't replace Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk knew that. That's why Charlie Kirk discipled and replicated believers and patriots so much across this land that it even spread to many other countries. And the young people today, here's the answer. Here's what's going to happen. What Satan meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. And so I think here's what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor of a nonprofit organization. That's as close as I can get. Could it be in the wisdom of God that in his infinite sovereignty, he's going to comfort Erica and he's going to take care of those kids? He'll take care of them for Charlie. But in the infinite wisdom of God, and don't miss this, none of you miss this, don't miss it. on our own soil today, we witnessed, as the world watched, a martyr. A martyr. And not only a martyr, an assassin martyr. And you might say, Jack, you can't put those two things together because an assassin is dealing with political issues and a martyr, those are religious issues. So pick one. This is the uniqueness of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk stood, he stood in the culture, and he preached truth and he gave truth and logic and reason, because the God of the Bible is the same God of logic, reason. And Charlie contended, and the political left, the progressives, the woke world, the whatever they are, they hated him. Charlie Kirk was the voice in one man that all of us should have been. Charlie went out and spoke like we know we should have spoken. Charlie has died and left us a witness. Charlie believed in what he announced. He believed in what he preached. He lived it out. And young people, listen. Are you looking for something in your life that is so great that it's greater than you? Listen, I want to tell you a little lie. Satan wants you to think that your life is the end all to everything, that everybody in the world was created for your pleasure. And Satan has lied to you and he's told you that you're at the top. No, you're not at the top. The greatest thing that you can do, and Jesus taught us, serve your brothers and sisters. Wash their feet. Jesus said, I'm washing your feet, and if I, the Lord, your master is washing your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And here's the deal, young people today. Whatever you're living for, you better test it now. Because this world is so nuts, you could be dying for anything. But whatever you die for, is it worthy of your life? Is it worthy of your life to give up? Charlie went out there today doing what he did and what God had called him to do. And he was a patriot on one side. And he was our brother on the other side. And he had no problem bringing those things together. And you want to know what? If you would have plucked Charlie out of this 21st century and placed him back 250 years ago with our founding fathers, he would have gotten a high five from Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Sam Adams, and the whole lot. Charlie looked unique to us. He looked unique to us. Charlie was not unique when it comes to what it means to be an American. That God gave us our freedoms. That we've been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. God has done this. And Charlie lived a life that in 1770 or 73 or 75 or 76 or 1783 or 1789... he would have been one of thousands, if not millions. You know that? He was a young man living out the foundation of this old world that we've come to know as America. But this America, young people, is not the America I was born into. I don't recognize this country. And I don't care about what happens in Washington or in Sacramento if nothing happens in the house of God. If nothing happens in the house of God, and if revival doesn't break out in our own personal lives as individuals, it is the end of America, and it will be an end in short order, because God has given us warnings, one after another. And the question is, we're all going to die. And when I saw Charlie today be shot out of his chair, it wasn't long after that I had this thought. This is me. I said to myself, well done, Charlie. Lord, if you might be so gracious in my life, Folks, Charlie got up that morning. He went to the bathroom, put on his clothes, he brushed his teeth. Charlie kissed his family goodbye, and he flew to Utah. And he was throwing out his TPUSA hats and 47 hats. He's throwing them out and doing what he does. Frank Turek was with him. And it's just amazing that they were together. But what you're living for, really? Are you ready to die for it? You ready to die for the porn you indulge in, really? You could, you know. You ready to die for what? Pot? Really? Is that great, huh? That you'd give your soul, you'd give your life. Sex? You ready to die? The key in life, friends, is finding something to live for that's greater than you, a cause. And I personally believe that you don't replace Charlie Kirk with someone. I believe what's going to happen is that there is going to be not only a million Gen Zs that are already on Charlie's side and more, but there right now there are people viewing Charlie Kirk videos all around the world. And some of them... And some of them are even his detractors, his haters. Think about the thousands of college kids over these last several years that stood in line in that auditorium or in that open field to ask Charlie or to argue against Charlie's worldview and how nice he treated you. How nice he spoke back to you. You were so rude to him. You cussed him out. You called him incredible words. And he looked at you and he smiled at you. He just smiled. And it wasn't a sarcastic smile either. And then when you were done in your rant of idiocy, Charlie would most often say, listen, thanks for asking me that question. Remember, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he loves you and he wants you to give your life to him. Next question, please. He was an evangelist. He was a patriot. He was a Christian. He was my friend. And I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of Charlie Kirk. We would have too much fun together. It wasn't too long ago when he was here and we did a podcast together. We did a real life network thing together. And he always reminded me, he said, you know, you really messed up my life because when you first had me for a Happening Now, we did the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum thing. And he said, I really didn't know what I was going to talk about. I didn't know anything about it. So I started studying it. Of course, Charlie studies things a few hours beforehand. And then he winds up knowing more than what anybody does who studied it in life. And if you were here that night, you can go back in our archives and you can see that Charlie just nailed it. And two weeks after that, he called me up and he said, well, thanks to you, everybody's calling me now to come and give the World Economic Forum talk. And I've become the World Economic Forum guy. And he would always just joke around and love like that. Charlie was always accommodating. I'm not eulogizing him right now because that's what we're supposed to do. I'm telling you the absolute Lord Jesus knows truth. There was nothing, there was no shenanigans with him. And it wasn't very long ago where after Israel took out Iran in the attack of the nuclear bases, all the anti-Semitism began to rise among the Islamic sympathizers. And Charlie was kind of caught in the middle a little bit. Some of his friends were either gone over to the dark side or they started to waver. And he called me up. He said, I need books. I need you to talk. I need a message on to answer all this question. I said, Charlie, I love you. You're crazy. You cannot, this topic is not a one sermon listen. Here's the books of the Bible to read. Go ahead and listen to these guys and watch out. And Charlie navigated those waters, and they were difficult times. But he never backed down. Whatever the Bible said, no matter what Charlie felt, the Bible trumped Charlie's feelings. And that's the way you and I are supposed to live. We're supposed to live just like that. And so I think we're going to see a tremendous rise. It may not be seen on the surface, much like you can be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and have no idea that while you're sitting on that ship, that underneath your ship passed a devastating tsunami. It's below the surface. It's still going 200 miles an hour, but it's below the surface. But when it gets to the shore, it rises up. And I believe that Charlie Kirk has made the followers, the disciples, those kids, they're going to look down deep. And I want some of you young, I want all of you young people here to look down deep. Ask yourself this question. This guy told me we need to stand up for our freedoms, speak the First Amendment, use it. God gave it to us. Let's use it. He was an example of that. With dignity and winsomeness, he did it. And I want to do the same thing, right? If you're young people, you want to do the same thing. Here's the reason why. You have no other place to take your opinion. Think about this. It's time to surrender to Charlie's God and to how Charlie understood the founding documents of this nation while we still have a chance. Because it's on you. I'm old. Many of us are old. It's the young generation. You're going to be facing the growing rise of Islam in America. You need to get ready. You need to get ready to face the demonic belief systems of this godless, I don't know even what to call it. It's got so many things. I'm thinking about woke culture, progressive culture, godless culture, DEI culture. It just goes on and on. Leftist, communist, socialist culture. And don't lose heart at this. God is always working with the remnant. He loves the remnant. Amen. And so you might feel, listen, you might feel outnumbered, kids. But Charlie taught you to never allow your feelings to convince you that you're outnumbered, because God's always on his throne. And again, as I mentioned, that there's a lot of detractors that are probably, or some people have never heard of Charlie Kirk before in the world, or even in America, possibly. I don't know how that's possible, but in America, there might be some young people. And they say, who's Charlie Kirk? Who's Charlie? And they're listening. And Charlie, as it were, his voice speaks from the dead, and he's talking to them on YouTube or any one of their posts at TPUSA, and kids are starting to think. It might be going on tonight. Kids are starting to think, I didn't know that. Who's this guy? Did you hear what he said? And they're going to send it to their friend. This guy, that guy that just got shot, you know what he said? He said this. That's radical. Yeah, but it's true, you know? Dude, it's true. Wow, we should probably check him out. I think Satan made a big mistake. But I'll end with this for now. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. But the scriptures teach us that the Lord has numbered our days. You know that? God knew the day that you're going to be born. In fact, let's back up. God tells us in the Old Testament, in Psalm 139, God knew the day that you were conceived. Now that's getting personal. Did you know that? And I think about that. Man, when your mom got pregnant with you, that whole system was designed by God. And this collision of information, so great that the depths of the observable universe and beyond pales in comparison to the technology of the human DNA. Amen. That's amazing. And it's you. It's you. That's who you are. And God, in engineering all of these things, knows the number of your days. He says he numbers them. Did you know that today was Charlie's day? It wasn't, listen, believer, you know this. Unbeliever, you're not going to get this still. But it wasn't an accident. Today was not an accident. Are you saying that God did it? Oh, I didn't say that God did it. I'm telling you that God knew about it. Well, why didn't he stop it? Stop what? Stop what? For what? Stop what? For what? Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2, God says, a man perishes and no one takes it to thought. A man is taken off from the earth by death and no man considers it, that the Lord has removed him from evil. Folks, today, Charlie was his day. You listen, Charlie, if it wouldn't have been at the bullet of an assassin, it would have been by heart attack. It would have been by car, would have been by airplane. It would have been somehow, some way. You don't change your number. When I said, well done, Charlie, it's because he, like Paul, finished the days that were allotted to him. He finished them honorably, gloriously, faithfully, powerfully. He finished his race. He kept the faith. And the scripture says that the Lord will give a crown of righteousness. Give it. It's a gift. Gifted to Charlie. And Paul said, and not only me, but to all of you who have loved his appearing. Do you love the thought of Christ coming again? Yeah. Listen. Yeah, I do. Listen. Let me ruin your night and let me bless your night at the same time. What if Jesus isn't coming for the next 100 years? It's just, whoa. I was hoping I'm getting out of here painlessly. Yeah, weren't we all? But I'm just pretending right now. What if Christ isn't coming back for 100 years? You're going to die. How do you want to die? Yeah, what'd you say? Swift? Quick? Yeah, I agree. I agree. Do you want to lay suffering like my sister with cancer for 7 years? I was talking to a friend last night on the phone who was given some bad news from her doctor, and she's been battling just deep pain. You see her, she comes to church, she comes in here, she looks completely normal. And her level of pain that she lives with is unbearable. And we don't know that. She looks like she could jump over the fence. But the doctor said, you've got to take new medication and it could be threatening to your life. We have people in this church, young people in this church that are, I think of one particular dear brother, Elijah, who is suffering in his wheelchair at his young age, and he has a death notice. They have told him how long he is going to live. Suffering. Charlie didn't suffer. Charlie breathed in. In fact, the last word out of his mouth today was the word violence. Did you know that? He said, everything's got to be done to stop violence. And the bullet entered his throat. you see the mercy of God tonight in Charlie's passing? He got hit by a round that would have dropped a bull moose or an elk. That round was designed to drop an 800-pound animal. This individual delivered what is known as a kill shot. This is not a warning. This was an assassination. And Charlie breathed in, and the next moment he breathed out in the presence of God. He didn't suffer. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints, says the scripture. And so I'm going to ask you, please, and now in this transitional moment to pray, will you please intercede tonight for Erica? She's got two little ones to not only raise, but doggone it, they look just like Charlie. They're so precious. Pray for the entire staff at Turning Point USA, Turning Point USA Global, they're everywhere. But folks, listen, in the spirit realm, there has never been not a day where we've been at war in the spirit realm. We battle against principalities and powers and demonic forces and invisible worlds that manifest themselves in this physical realm. God's got the answer, folks. People who want to criticize God, remember this, God is the only one with the answer. We got to get out of this world somehow. If it's not by rapture, it's by some other means. I want to go as quickly as possible. And I've often had that debate with the Lord. And then I remember him telling me in my heart. I didn't hear a voice, but I had this thought that ain't my thought. It was him. And he said, Jack, don't worry about it. You can only die so long. You can only die so long and then you're dead. Is that not true? But here, we've got the answer because Jesus gave us the answer. Friends, listen. Let's cry. That's all I've been doing today in between interviews. I think interviews have kind of kept me somewhat sane today. We can cry. We're supposed to cry. But don't lose hope. We're supposed to weep. We're going to wake up tomorrow. And it's going to hit us all over again. And that's okay. We're supposed to do this. Just don't do it without hope. Because Paul, the apostle, told the believers in Thessalonica, let us sorrow. Let's weep when someone dies, but not without hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, he will also bring with him all those who died believing in Jesus, so that we are not without hope. And so the dark enemy world can do whatever it wants to do. It cannot stop us, because greater is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. I'm going to ask Pastor Phil, come on up. You guys, I'm going to go right now in 5 minutes to, Lord willing, have the chance to give the gospel to millions of people on Fox News. And I've asked Pastor Phil to come and lead us tonight in a word and in prayer. But I'm going to ask you to please pray. When he directs you in prayer tonight, will you pray? Ask the Lord to soften your heart. And I want to leave this final challenge to the young people. You need to find out real quick what you're willing to die for. Charlie was the perfect example. Follow him as he followed Christ. Amen.